Hi, racing fans. Steve Wolf here for the International Equine Network. And our host and founder of the network, Scott Miller, is with us. Right, Scott?
I'm here, buddy. And I've been wanting to talk to you all morning. Give me the scoop. What's going on with this virus?
Well, this Corona 19 virus is really reaching epidemic forms, especially in the harness racing industry. And that is because on Monday, the horseman's representative at Yonkers Raceway, a great gentleman by the name of John Brennan, he passed away from the coronavirus 19. That was been totally confirmed. And because he was in the race office, numerous people are being quarantined or are in hospitals because of the virus. Apparently because of John being able to go through the race paddock and everything, all other locations, he's infected quite a number of people. And as of we speak right now, Yonkers Raceway is closed for indefinite, probably a couple of weeks, as they fumigate and clean the entire paddock area. I know that the head of the Horsemen's Association, the Standardbred Owners and Breeders Association of New York, Joe Ferravo, was with John Brennan, and he's quarantined with the Corona 19. The assistant race secretary is in the hospital. A number of horsemen, including Jason Bartlett, are quarantined at home, and other horsemen have been in hospitals. Two of them are currently on respirators. And in fact, the founder of HarnessLink.com, John Curtin, had dinner with Joe Ferraldo and then flew back to Australia and the next day was sick, and he is under quarantine and being tested in New Zealand. So it's just unreal how it's spreading through the industry.
Well, Steve, did it come by touch, like shaking hands, patting them on the back, or was it just being in a closed room, or do they have any idea
this is being in the same room with the person, whether the person talked or coughed, whether they touched something that the person had touched before. I mean, that's how you can get it. And, of course, the best thing that everybody can do, and they're saying this all over, is continuously wash your hands. Don't, if at all possible, which is nearly impossible, don't touch your eyes or mouth until you've washed your hands properly. And other than that, it's disinfecting, as they're doing all over the world right now, disinfecting everything that they possibly can. And with some states are actually stopping any group, any social functions, any conferences are being closed off unless it's less than 250 people. The Association of Racetrack Commissioners had their big meeting scheduled. It has been canceled. The United States Trotting Association was scheduled this week to have their annual meeting of all 60 directors. That has been canceled. Freehold Raceway, because of so many people go to Yonkers and was in the race office, a number of those people have gotten sick. They have closed racing for 2 weeks while they go through disinfecting everything that they can. Go ahead, Scott.
You're involved with the banquet coming up soon. Have you made a decision on what you're going to do with that?
We have a meeting on Tuesday. This is for the Florida chapter of the Harness Writers, our Hall of Fame dinner. We do not have 250 people coming. And as we speak right now, that dinner is going to take place. Although a couple people have called saying that they may want to come if things get any better. And I hope they will, and we're going through with it. You know, we may have 100, 150 people attending the dinner, but the McDivitts is already going through and cleaning their banquet room and their kitchen area there, because they do an awful lot of banquet business. But it's affecting all over, although I have to admit that last night I was down in Lauderdale by the Sea at a popular place on the beach called Aruba's, and we were a party of 12 people, and that place was jam-packed. So I know that people are still going out. They're still doing things properly. They're just making sure that they have Purell and other items here. Just a little surprised on that. Apparently, if you go to Walmart or the shopping centers, you can't buy a roll of toilet paper.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Dave. With the tracks closing, for 2 weeks, how does that affect the casinos? Are they closing the casinos, or is it just the track?
It's just the tracks right now. But I just got this flash in from the Meadowlands that they have canceled live racing, where 2 days ago they printed that they would be racing, but they have now canceled for Friday and Saturday night. The Meadowlands GM, Jason Centimore, says, "We wanted to go and get everybody raced, but you get to a point where the possible negative consequences outweigh the possible aspects. So we'll follow all developments closely and keep everyone informed on the status of live racing in the near future." So now you have Yonkers Raceway, who's going to have the opening legs of the the MGM Borgata series, that $1 million series, and the Blue Chip Matchmaker series. They're all put on hold for now. So Yonkers, Freehold, and Meadowlands are currently closed for live racing. This is all because of the gentleman at Yonkers and how people, happen to be. And you know what, Scott, we have to explain. If one person was near or with this gentleman that was infected and they somehow got it on their system, now if they cough, sneeze, touch, do anything that somebody else touches or is in the room and touches something that person breathed on, they can get it.
Well, I'm watching close the thoroughbred aspect of it, and we haven't really seen any big changes yet. We got the road to the Kentucky Derby, and a lot of the big stake races that are coming up. You're looking at the Derby coming up in 5-6 weeks, 250,000 people, usually flood the infield and the stands there. And, we're just not seeing anything yet or heard anything yet, not like it's happened in the harness industry. And the question I'm going to ask you now is, what are they doing for the people on the backside? Do you know of anything? Those are the guys that have to be there, to have to feed the horses, take care of the horses.
Well, I know they're doing everything to, allow them to continue to take care of the horses. The care of these horses is most important on their list, along with their own personal health care. But apparently anyone who has been near or with people that are being hospitalized or are being infected, that they have to either pose themselves in a self-quarantine or get with their physician, because the hospitals and emergency rooms don't have the testing available, and they need to go or have been going to their local physician and then being set up, with an appointment to get checked out. I just, have never seen this, within an industry spread so fast. Just shows how the rest of the world is having to deal with it, only it's affecting, the harness racing industry intently at this point.
I was talking to a couple of trainers up in Kentucky this morning, and one of their main concerns was the fact that, say the Derby comes up or any races at any time, you usually have people from all over the country, all over the world, here to see the races. And, that's one of their concerns, is how many are bringing it in, and if they bring it in, how many would take it out, and where do they go? It's something you just can't keep a track track of. So I guess we'll have to watch it close and see what happens.
That's right. And the way people are traveling and stuff, and the president's ban on incoming flights, I mean, this is already affecting. Apparently, there will be no more shipping of horses from Australia and New Zealand to the United States. Mm-hmm. Of course, that falls in with the president's ban. But, lately, the last few years, so many horses every week are being shipped to into the United States from Australia and New Zealand, and that's going to have to come to a halt.
Well, you mentioned shipping and everything. It makes you think about from state to state, you know, from Florida to Kentucky to New York or, you know, to Canada, that type of thing. People don't realize how much shipping goes, you know, and it just takes one person, you know, on a van, you know, to go from one place to the other to, you know, keep it going. So hopefully they can control that.
Yeah, it's, I can't even begin, but my fear is that people are going to, whether they know it or not, you know, they have to backtrack and see, you know, have they been near any of these people? And if they have any of the symptoms, you know, the fever, that's the big thing, coughing and stuff, they've got to go to their physician and either talk, you know, get them on the phone or go and see them so they can make arrangements for them to be tested.
Well, I was reading this morning to where that the virus itself can stay for 7 to 10 days and still, you know, affect someone. So it takes 7 to 10 days for it to, you know, to dissipate,
right,
or go away. You know, that's scary.
It is. I mean, so all that means, theoretically, if you happen to walk into the race office at Yonkers to grab a pen and write something down, and someone like the assistant race secretary had touched that pen beforehand, you grab that pen, now your eye's itching and you touch your eye, boom, you're going to get it. You're
right,
just going to get it. I mean, I'm not a medical professional to be able to, you know, explain everything going on here, but it's just unbelievable. I mean, I don't want to compare it to a plague or anything like that, but it has all the ramifications. You can just see how easy it is for this thing to spread.
Well, you know, I think that if we follow the instructions, you know, that we're seeing on TV and in print, if we, you know, use good common sense, you know, I think that a lot of that could be, you know, I don't want to say prevented, but, you know, maybe, you know, we could keep you in a safe zone type of a thing.
We hope so, because the outlook right now is not good at all.
Well, you know, I tell you, keep on it, folks. Stay tuned to us. Every week we'll talk a little bit about it till the thing's gone. And now maybe we can switch gears to another situation in the horse industry.
Yeah, I think we had to, Scott, I think we had to flip a coin today to see which one we were going to lead with.
Right. Well, I'm glad we led with the virus, because that's most important, because that directly, you know, affects the mass of people. And that's what we're concerned about as our listeners and, you know, the people in our country, you know, to make them safe. So hopefully, you know, they'll follow the directions and all. But this horse situation, last Monday, they handed
Well, no, Scott, there's other situations, too, in that don't forget, the NBA has canceled their season.
Right.
That is unprecedented.
Right,
you know,
right.
They would have to go and take those kind of means, you know, in order to keep going. And I know in France they're running the horse races without any fans. They're not allowing any
right.
fans, and they're going to do that with soccer games, and who knows how far that's going to go.
Oh, exactly. You know, and the NFL season's coming up, and, you know, so many things like that. It's going to be tough. And, you know, not only the virus, but I tell you, what we're getting ready to talk about hit the horse and racing industry very hard.
Right.
On Monday, they had 27 indictments for tampering with the horse industry through drugs and, you know, a lot of things. And it went from the top of the heap, which was maximum security, that just won in Dubai a $16 million purse, you know, back to he was disqualified in the Derby last year for interference. And, you know, this thing has just grown unbelievable to all walks of the industry, from the owners and trainers, you know, to the horses. And the thing that I was concerned with is that there's a lot of pressure put on the trainers to win, you know, via the owners. And a lot of these trainers will try to get assistance outside regular training through chemicals or medications. And once they start getting a little bit of success, I think what really happened in this case is that the trainers and people involved, they crossed that line and they went from trying to enhance the horse's performance to greed. That greed got a hold of them, and so they're going to do any and everything and as many horses as they can to get to the finish line first.
That's right, and it's uncanny that in that both industries, both thoroughbred and harness, have ties in here and have crossed over. And actually, one of the first arrests were made. Actually, it was a person, Ralph Branca, was identified as the 28th person to be involved with this. He's not listed on the indictments of the other 27, but he was arrested yesterday, or no, he was arrested Monday and released on $200,000 bail. And I'm sorry, how can I put it? Okay, but this Richard Banca is, how can I put it, connected to Louis Grasso and Connor Flynn, who were among the 27 that right. were indicted on Monday.
Right. And for the people that don't know, you know, this involved veterinarians, trainers, you know, and owners.
Exactly.
The knowledge of it. And what it was all boiled down to was the fact that the veterinarians were administering drugs to horses that would enhance them. And the drugs that they were being given were mislabeled in the bottoms. Now, in the horse business, there's a lot of checks and balances. You got to have a third-party veterinarian, you know, involved in. And so, you know, there's really a tight control on it. And that's why I was glad to see all this come about, because it's a result of a 3.5-4 year investigation of checks and balances. And when they found out what was going on, thank goodness that they expanded it and lengthened out the investigation, you know, to as long as it was, so that they could not just get the few, but they could get just about everybody, you know, that was involved. And so that should let the public know, you know, that in the horse industry, those checks and balances are there for the safety of the horse, the safety of the individuals working with the horses, and for the general betting public, you know, that we're trying to keep it honest as we can. And that's why this happened.
No, but it's a sad situation for the thoroughbred and harness racing industry management groups, because we are unable to police our own sport properly. And it took the FBI and the government to come up and have to do this sting and surveillance for well over a year now, and look what they've come up with. And people understand and they talk about it, but the fact that, you know, that we're unable to do it, that the federal government had to come in and do it, is a very, very bad black eye on both the thoroughbred and the harness industry.
You know, they found that the way the system was set up and the things that they were doing, mislabeling, you know, the medications to appear to be one medication and it really wasn't, One of the things that, you know, that's universal is it not only affects harness and standard bred, but all the horse industry, you know, that type of thing. And so that's why I'm glad, you know, all this had happened. But this
right.
thing is going to get really ugly, you know.
I believe you.
It's going to get bad, you know. And the thing that's got me mostly most concerned is the did we let the public down by allowing this to happen, or did we gain more public confidence by letting them know that we are concerned about the safety of the horse and the horsemen, you know, that are involved? Hopefully, it swings the public in our favor.
Well, I hope so too, because if we're unable to clean our own house and the government's coming in and helping get this established, that, you know, maybe it will increase awareness into the sport that the sport is being policed, and, you know, we'll have to see how it goes from there. But the idea of how can I put it? There's been too many crossovers. In other words, right. You have somebody like this Navarro and Service guys and Thoroughbred. Well, there's a picture of the two of them with this Nick Sirk, the harness racing guy, and most prominent owner perhaps in all of racing right now, Michelle Crawford, and they're all having fun at Gulfstream Park. And what's sad is that they all own horses together, and this involves other harness people too, who have invested in and gone in with these gentlemen, and they're all linked together, and it's very, very sad, and we've not heard the end of this. And Richard Branca might be the first one to be arrested, but I'm thinking by the next week or two, there's going to be a lot more people named and a lot more arrests taking place, and hopefully these horses that are under their care are going to be taken care of.
Right.
And I know the industry is looking to make sure that they are, and what these horses' well-being and all the testing and everything that's now going to take place on every one of their horses. And every one of these owners that are involved with these trainers that have been indicted, they're all going to come under major scrutiny.
Well, you know, the thing that concerned me, and I'm trying to find out slow but surely, is, you know, were these horses, where were they treated at? Were they in a secure facility, you know, such as, you know, the racetrack? Or were they, you know, at a farm? Was it, you know, in transit to the racetrack? Was it every week? Were they on a regular regimen of medication? You know, like if we get the flu, we take a penicillin tablet, you know, for, you know, 2 weeks in a row. You know, that there's a lot of things that need to be answered, you know, with it. And one of the things I think that's going to really help out is that Maximum Security, that was disqualified from the Derby this year, but yet won in Dubai, the big race, he has been transferred over to Bob Baffert. And so, you know, that this horse will be under a microscope when he runs again. Is it going to be the horse? Or is it going to be, you know, will it be, you know, the medications? If he runs and wins, then we know it's the horse. If he runs up the track, we know it was the drugs.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And now, you know, there's been all this fighting, and the USTA came out against this Horse Racing Integrity Act. And now it's looking more and more like this Horse Integrity Act needs to be passed and needs
right.
to be set up there.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, the thing that's kind of, you know, I got to thinking about is, you know, the wagering aspect of it. Are we going to see a drop in, you know, handle at the tracks because of this? Or will we see it go up because they know everything, you know, is really being watched very close? You know, there's a lot of things that's going to affect this whole industry, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Right. The New Jersey Racing Commission calls it conduct extremely detrimental to racing, and that's not the half of it. And it's just between the coronavirus and now all these indictments, you know, racing has a major, major black eye going. And
oh, exactly.
Whether or not they run the Kentucky Derby with just the horses, you know, racing that day as opposed to 100,000 fans and around the world, it's right. definitely going to have its effect. Now, right. with all the tracks closing, the Meadowlands, Yonkers, Freehold, I don't know who's next on the block, but or Dover Downs had canceled a couple of days too so that they could, because again, they had people from New York in their race paddock, and now they, you know, they canceled the last couple nights so that they can clean everything up.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
It's just unbelievable how this is all spreading. And then on top of it, you have all these trainers and horses. And what about the people that either purchased or claimed horses from
right.
these harness or thoroughbred trainers? Do they have to worry about their horse collapsing? Do they have to turn their horse out for 3 months and observe it and see? I mean, depending on who used what veterinarians and stuff was going on here, it's just, I mean, both between the virus and between the repercussions of all these indictments, it's like dominoes all setting up in reverse, and they're all going to top over. And in the long run, if you were to look at a 5 and 10 year plan, or 3 and 5 year plan, I think, you know, the next, it's going to take a couple years to get rid of all these problems here. And if it happens, then I think racing could rebound. And but it takes a lot of long term planning, and all these people have to be out of the industry forever.
Right. Oh, you got that right. Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, that I was looking at is maximum security ran at Gulfstream Park here in the last couple of years. And he started out in a claiming race. I believe it was like 16,500. And then they jumped him up, you know, to a higher claiming level. I think it was 50,000. Then an allowance race, and then he won a stake race. So, you know, we're going to find out, you know, here in the next month or two, when Bob Baffert gets his horse ready to run, you know, just was it the horse or was it the drugs? And the other thing is we're just seeing the big guns that, you know, that got caught. We don't know how far down it went in the ranks to the smaller trainers, the 2 or 3 horse stables.
Well,
you know,
let me tell you, it's and there's so much more to this that we don't know. I mean, The statement, they released an intercepted phone call where the harness racing trainer, Nick Zurich, implicated Jorge Navarro in a conversation with Michael Tanuzzo, where Nick Zurich said, you know how many of these effing horses Navarro effing killed and broke down that I made disappear? He right. says, you know how much trouble he would get in if they found out? The 6 horses we killed? I mean, that's unbelievable.
Having said that, my sources are telling me that they are in New York and Pennsylvania, I believe it was. They're searching farms right now. They're digging up farms looking for the remains of these horses.
Right. Now, so these repercussions are spreading all over. I mean, New York, New Jersey, even in Florida, and it's my understanding that whether it's Department of Agriculture or there's people going to Olympia Training Center and also at Sunshine Meadows. Have you seen any of this?
Well, you know, we just have our regular inspections and everything here is what we've had. You know, it's going to hit everywhere, you know, like it did at Palmetto's. When the FBI went on in over there with the blue lights and, you know, took everybody. And I know my sources are telling me that they're literally going through, you know, a multitude of farms and racing facilities, you know, to find this. And a lot of it has been, in the past year or so, been disguised by regular, you know, agricultural inspections.
Well, it's spread so far. Now we know that in Delaware there's a situation, and I believe it's Donato, Tony Policino, who was selling meds, was selling meds under different names, and they were different medications. I mean, this veterinarian, Lou Progresso, was manufacturing and distributing customized PED, performance-enhancing drugs, and that they admitted that some of them have already admitted, I guess they're giving up everybody else in order to get a leaner sentence.
Right.
But,
well,
about
10 years ago, I was approached by a company that had made EPO and to sell this product. It was a blood builder, they called it, like Geritol, you know, like a tonic. And it was interesting. They gave me a contract to sell, and mainly it was through my connections through the business, you know, to get their foot in the door. And so after about 60 days, I really appreciated the checks. You know, times were tough at that time. And so I literally went to having something and potentially a lot of things down to nothing because I couldn't sell what they were telling me. It was testing positive over in Europe. Europe would not allow it to be there. And it's the same product now, basically what they're doing now. And they learned how the compound people and the chemists learned how to mask this product so it would look like another product. Then when they mislabeled the vials or, put a different label on it, if you were to go check, this and you read it and you just assume that that's what's in that bottle, you know, and so that got them around a lot of different things and, you know, got everything, you know, on the move. And then that's when the greed set in, you know, and they just got greedy and thank God they got caught.
Yeah, you got it too. I mean, because they talk about how, yeah, you can put this in a horse, you can give it to it with, Coke, and the blood work will still come back negative.
Right, right. You know, and that's the dangerous part is we, you know, with technology, we have people that have learned how to do that. And one of the things I want to let the listeners know is, like, whenever they take the blood samples and urine samples from the winners at the track, and then they randomly take, samples from other horses in the field. For example, let's say if you got a horse that goes off as the favorite horse and he runs dead last, well, they'll randomly pull him in, you know, to see what happened. But the good thing is we really don't know what the testing facilities are testing for, you know, and that helps a lot, you know, because then it makes it a little harder for these vets to do what they do. But evidently they found a way to, get around that.
Right.
But, you know, I'm sitting here watching Gulfstream today, and it's funny. It appears to me that in the grandstands that they've taken about the virus, they've taken the attitude of sitting every other seat and stay away from the people next to you. So it looks like a lot of people are there, but it's not.
Right, and as you read these stories, you have to say to yourself, my God, it's going down the ladder from one person to another person, and then it spreads out more, and that other people are all telling it, and that they all know what's going on with this. They're all guilty of the worst infraction you can imagine, and that is drugging these horses to the point where they're racing so hard, their hearts are bursting, they're getting heart attacks and dropping dead. That's
exactly
why this business of Surik and Navarro talking about how many horses he's killed and
right,
how they're being able to bury them where nobody's going to find them,
right,
you know, to be able to do any testing on them.
Well, you're exactly right. And you know, the thing that I think needs to be done is we need to monitor and be a little more strict on, what's being done. I remember years ago, they had a situation where horses were testing positive, and they found out it came from a feed mill. And what had happened is the feed mill was not cleaning out their chutes and their bins before they would run, you know, a thoroughbred feed or a harness feed.
Right. Or in one case, I remember, I think it was Pennsylvania, there was a mixture, and the horses were getting a cow feed, and the cow feed did have stuff in it to help enhance eating and whatever, you know, body strength is, you know, which you have to wonder, it doesn't sound very organic, but it was there, and, you know, the research is done. And but let me tell you, there's a lot of research being done these days, and the labs and everyone else, but that adage of better racing through chemistry is certainly more prevalent with all these trainers, veterinarians. I'm just, you know, in dismay that, you know, that this is all, you know, blowing up and horse racing's face at the worst possible. There is no good time, but right. With the seasons approaching and everything. And we just hope that this can all get taken care of. These bad boys can be gone forever. And that, you know, racing will be able to have a better reputation of that when the horses are racing, they're racing on, the one group is called water, hay, and oats.
Right. Well, see, that's what the old timers, old school, you know, you used to have the galvanized water buckets, the galvanized feed tubs. You would come in the morning and you would start cooking your oats, you know, in your feed in the morning. And give it out. And it was funny, when I came into the business 43 years ago, I was very fortunate. I was blessed to go right into a good barn and over the years worked with Derby horses and Derby winners and Breeders' Cup winners and so forth and the best trainers in the world. And I learned real quick, right off the bat, from D. Wayne Lucas. He told me, he said, you know, Scotty, he said, this is the deal. He said, we can all come in and tell stories. We can, you know, enhance the stories. We can make them sound good and everything. He said, but the eye don't lie. He said, that's for sure. And he said, if you keep your eye open, he said, you can see what's going on. You can see who's who, what's what. And I think that's what happened in this game. I think that there were a lot of people, you know, watching. And I know I've been in Navarro's barn at Aqueduct. And I know the measures they took for security there. They just could not find out how it was being done. And I mean, and I went in that morning. And let me tell you something. Right here and now, the way they found it, I don't know if it was skill or just luck. And somebody said, hey, what if they're mislabeling the drugs? You know, and that seems to be what carried them through because nobody got caught until then.
No, well, when I was running Pompano Park, the harness racing industry had a couple people who, you know, were experts in this. They're former police and FBI agents, so they know exactly what to look for. And if things, especially on the pill side, look different. And we've had instances in the past where horsemen have disguised the drugs in different containers for that exact reason. But when they get caught with it, you know, a simple search of the trunk of a car or something has found items, and then they take them in and they have to get them, you know, it's an expensive process to find out what they exactly are. But once they do, then those people are they're out of the sport forever.
Well, this is my take on what happened. Like I said, the eye don't lie in the horse business, that's for sure. I think what happened, Steve, is we saw a couple trainers like Service and Navarro and others, Zurich, you know, and what have you. I think what happened is when you look at statistics and you see that Hall of Fame trainers were, you know, at a certain percentage, and then all of a sudden you see, you know, different people coming in and they're twice that rate. They're at 30 or 40% win percentage. How in the heck did that happen? Is it the breed of the horse? Is it the training? Is it the feed? What is it? You know, and you just don't make a significant jump above Hall of Famers like that, just being a regular guy that's you know, working.
Well,
hard
the names that are on the list here, especially the harness ones, are people who have been known to be bad boys. There's always been so-called talk about Chris Oaks and Nick Zurich, and I actually know Chris Marino, and when I was running Pompano Park, I had him barred from racing because of his reputation and what he had been found guilty with in the past, and now it's come back. Only now it's just going to be a lot more lenient. I think somebody like Nick Zurich is facing a maximum of 50 years in prison, and everyone else, the other ones, the Oaks and them, they're looking at least 5 years, maybe more, depending on how extensive the charges become. It's unreal. And then somebody like Jose Navarro, if this all comes out to be true, I don't think he should ever see the light of day again.
Well, you know, I agree with you, and I think that's what's going to happen. You know, the thoroughbreds, they're going to have to make a statement, you know, and they're going to have to take these guys and rule them off. And you know, the other thing that people, you know, they're getting all the headlines and everything, but you got to look at, you know, and from what I've read in some of the indictments, it's the fact that they had grooms involved, they had horse transporters involved, they had veterinarians involved. You know, certainly we know that in all probability, you know, a lot of the owners knew what was going on because, I mean, if I'm an owner and I see my vet bill, you know, at the end of the month to pay the trainer, I want to know what these products are and what they're being used for. You know, so I think that it's going to go so deep and cross over everything in the harness and thoroughbred industry and the show horse industry. Who will not touch?
Right, and I'm sure they're going to go through the records of the veterinarians in question here, this Grasso and some other ones, and they're going to fine tune every appointment they made and with everyone involved, and you know we just have to hope that the sooner it happens, the sooner they go away. The sooner the sport can start rebuilding confidence in the racing fans.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of rebuilding, Steve, I think that after all this and everything, I want to mention a couple of races here that's on the road to the Kentucky Derby. It's from Oakland Park and Hot Springs, Arkansas, which is a beautiful track to go to. They have the Rebel there, and This race has notoriously been known for getting sleepers into the Arkansas Derby and then to the Kentucky Derby. And one thing that made me feel real good about this whole race this year is they've got 8 quality horses in here. And Bob Baffert has one of them. Ashmussen has 3 in there. It ought to be a pretty good race. It'll be on Saturday, and
right.
You know, it's on TVG, Twin Spires, ExpressBet, and you can go to IENTV.org and click onto Hot Springs, and you can actually watch the race live there, and you can see them training in the morning at Hot Springs on IENTV.org. We have tapped in with them to see training in the morning. You know, so if you get up early in the morning, you just go to our website, click on Hot Springs, and you can watch the horses train. But it's going to be kind of exciting, you know, on Saturday.
I'm wondering, I'm looking at tonight's harness racing schedule, and there's Dover is gone, Yonkers is gone. So maybe if there's any kind of a shining light is that people are going to be betting more on Northfield, Pompano, Monticello, you know, Saratoga.
That's true.
Because that's all there's going to be left. And now I look on, let's say, a Friday night, which is always a big night. You know, now without Yonkers, without Meadowlands, you're left with Miami Valley and Hawthorne and Freeholding Cal Expo, and and that's it on a Friday. And then Saturday is going to get, you know, again hit hard. You know, right. There's in Meadowlands, of course, is one of the best bet tracks. Yonkers, of course, has the biggest races and gets bet. So I guess these other tracks will, benefit if the bettors are interested and get their race programs to handicap. Is those tracks will benefit from those that still want to get wagering in.
Well, now let me ask you this: do you think that the tracks are going to go on a day by day, you know, basis to see how things go, or you think that if Dover or you know those guys shut down, it'd be for 2 weeks? So I mean, we know.
Well,
that.
No. Dover has been shut down now for, this will be 3 straight days. They're going day to day. Yonkers has announced 2 weeks. Meadowlands, 2 weeks. Freehold, 2 weeks. So we're hopeful that they'll be able to get everything disinfected and that they'll feel confident. I'm sure they're going to, they already talked about questioning and talking with trainer drivers as they, grooms as they come in the paddock. I wouldn't be surprised if they were to get the forehead thermometers and take everyone's temperature just the same as they would do alcohol breathalyzer tests.
Right.
And that makes sure. And anyone with a fever, anyone who, when they ask the questions, aren't, you know, tell them the truth and say, well, I've had this and that, they're going to send them home, which would be disastrous to some stables because, you know, they need every person they can working for them. But health comes over work, because
right.
if you're sick or dead, you can't work. So I just think it's the precautions are going to be astronomical.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, on the road to the Kentucky Derby, Turfway Park's got the Jeff Ruby Stakes. On Saturday, they got a full field of 12, and that's usually a pretty good race, so they're still doing there. So as we cross the country in harness and thoroughbred racing, you know, we kind of know what areas, you know, where it's this virus is at, because, you know, they're shutting down, and then the other areas where, you know, they're relatively free, you know, what we're doing. And then one of the other things I wanted to tell you out here this morning, we got some horses, you know, shipping out and shipping in, you know, that type of thing. And I ran into a friend of mine, Sam Bowie, and he's going to be on our show next week.
All right.
I told him, I said, Steve Wolf's going to grill you next week on, you know, from being a star All-American player at Kentucky, going into the NBA, and now coming out and getting involved in a lot of good horses. Yeah,
no, Sam has been a great guy, a great spokesman for the industry.
Right.
I think he has had horses ownership in the past. I know he's been coming out to Sunshine Meadows because he loves the horses and stuff.
Right.
And we're going to be curious to see if he's coming back as an owner.
Right. That's one of the things I was asking him this morning. You know, I said, what are you doing? He said, he always comes out. He'll be out here next week, and he'll be on the deck, you know, on Saturday and everything.
Right.
But, you know, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to ask you because you've got some action happening on Friday at Sunshine Meadows, if I'm right.
Right, exactly. We got qualifiers, and it's my understanding we got 15 horses that'll be qualifying on Saturday. And I'll be filming the horses and asking you questions when you're out here. And we'll post it up on IENTV.org, you know, just so our fans can see what Sunshine Meadows looks like and, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, we just want to let fans know that the qualifying races will start at 11 a.m. And, of course, everyone's invited. There's no charge or anything. Just you might want to bring your own lawn chair if the weather's going to be good. But, on average, there's 3 to 4 horses in each race qualifying. And actually, there's 1 trotting race and 3 pacing races. So it'll be good. And Peter Wren gets the credit for running it all.
That's right. He sure does. He's a hard worker at it. He's getting all these winners trained down so they can go back up to Indiana this summer. But Steve, maybe you can explain to our listeners just what is a qualifier? What constitutes a qualifier?
In harness racing, a horse must show a satisfactory line, meaning it must be in a sort of a race on the racetrack and show that it can go in, let's say, for Pompano, I think it might be 2-3 for trotters and 2-1 for pacers. They have to go in a certain standard measure of time in order to be qualified to race before the public, and there's going to be wagering. And that's why they have these qualifiers.
Right. Well, see, that's like in the thoroughbred business. We call them works. And usually a trainer will work a horse 3 days before, before their race. And then they have to have 3 published works for the public in order to, enter a horse into a race. So it's kind of similar, to what they're doing. But I always like it, like the qualifiers, because you see these horses and you don't know what they're going to do, and some of them just explode out of the off the starting car, and do good, and others just they just don't have a clue. And most of these horses will be, getting ready to go up north.
Right, and but we've seen some awesome qualifiers in a day. In fact, one recently, the 2019 Harness Horse of the Year, Chardonnay, she won her qualifier at Dover in 1:52.2, an unbelievable mile for a qualifier. But to show how great she was, she came back Thursday in her first race of the year and beat a good field of invitational mares. She won it in 1:50 flat. I mean, imagine that's the first start coming back. It's just unbelievable.
It's going to be hard to improve on that, that's for sure.
Right. But I don't think they'll be going that fast at Sunshine tomorrow.
No, I don't think so. But you know what, see, I wish our listeners would come out, and see the qualifiers and see our facility here. It's a great day. The weather's supposed to be good. Brandon Mills has got the track and TV, has got the track in perfect condition.
Great.
Everybody's out there. They can meet Scott. They can meet Steve. Firsthand. We'll have to bump elbows. No handshaking on Saturday. That type of thing. But it'll give a good insight to what they do, and they can walk around and walk past the barns and see the horses. Getting ready for the race.
Right.
Walk up to see the starting car. Yeah. They can see all that. And, we'd like for them to come out, and visit with us and everything. Do you see any good horses that are standing out for any of the trainers here this year, Steve?
Well, there was a muscle massive colt. I'm not sure of his name. He's owned by Ebby Gary, who's been a world-class amateur driver. His family supports and helps maintain the Trotting Horse Museum. But they had a muscle massive colt that trained in around 2:16. And that looked very, very good. And, of course, all eyes are on the colt that sold for $1.1 million, Maverick. And right now, he's doing everything right. I mean, he's training well. When he's out there, he's extending himself like he's supposed to. I mean, he's bred. He's a full brother to the Trotter of the Year, Green Shoe. I mean, he's doing everything right. And that's the one that might actually live up to his potential.
Well, that's why we try to get people out here on Saturdays for, on the deck, because you're looking at, first of all, he was the most expensive standardbred ever sold, am I correct?
Yearling, yes.
Oh, yearling, okay. Well, now, you're seeing him develop, and you can actually say, if you come out here and see him. I can remember him when he was nothing, when he was just starting. You know, and that's one of the things we want everybody to do, you know, is to come out and see and visit. Pick your brain. Come out and talk to Steve, you know.
If they can't make it tomorrow, because it is a working day for a lot of people, then come out Saturday morning and watch the 2-year-olds in training.
Yeah, or they could do both. You know, they could do both.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, one of the things, Steve, that we want to make sure that we emphasize to, you know, our listeners, especially what has happened, you know. We're taking into consideration the safety and the health of our listeners, and we wouldn't be inviting them out if we didn't think it was, you know, a safe situation. We wouldn't be inviting them to the races, you know, unless we knew that, you know, the proper measures have been taken, you know, to make sure that the racing, you know, is on the level, you know, and at its best. You know, that's what we're trying to do. You know, and we'll answer any questions that they propose to us. And if we can't answer them, then we'll find somebody that can.
That's exactly it. You know, never be afraid to ask questions. And if we can't find it, we'll try and find someone that can. That's what we're doing out here. We're trying to inform everybody. But in my 40 or 45, 50 years in this sport, I don't think I've ever seen, you know, two major devastating instances happen in the same week.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, you know, and it's just a shame that it happens, because one affects the business bad enough as it is, such as the virus, by fans not being able to get out to the facilities to race and so forth. And then the other one is, you know, having the, you know, the indictment. You know, that's a double blow right there. And let me tell you, if it wasn't for the resilience of the horse industry, you know, this kind of thing, along with the virus, could just totally devastate the industry.
It could, but there's a lot of good people, a lot of people that play fair, as you would say, and by the rules, and you hate to see those people get hurt by not having, you know, by having other people like this, you know, hurt the sport. And then, of course, on top of it, nobody could predict, you know, how this virus would go and how devastating it's been. But it just shows you what can happen in any industry or workplace. You know, one person gets it, and look how it's spread. And it's not only gone from localized, it's going nation and worldwide.
Oh, right. And, you know, same with the horse industry. You know, with these indictments, that extended all the way over to Dubai, you know, and to Europe.
And, exactly.
You know, so there's no boundaries, there's no borders on, you know, on this thing, you know, and so we.
I'm sure the sheiks are not happy.
I know. Well, yeah. See, maximum security is still in Dubai. You know, so they haven't come back yet, and all. But on next week's show, see, like I said, we're going to have Sam Bowie will be on with us. And then we'll talk, you know, we'll have a good little segment with Patricia Ann that's going to do and host our Chuck Wagon series. And she's going to enlighten us and tell us, you know, what her schedule is and what we're going to be doing and where we're going to be going with the program, you know. And she's going to be wanting recipes from all the equestrians out there. And, you know, we'll just see what happens.